Good day, everyone. It is November the 11th of 2021, and looking outside, there's a big pile of white fluffies on the road, so it looks like winter has arrived. It might melt away, but it's everything is coated white, and the land seems to have gone to sleep, and it really is quite beautiful. For many years, at least for me, large tracts of the Old Testament, while interesting to read, simply just seemed all disconnected and distant, and perhaps because of the focus on doctrine that was in place, believing the same thing, and to a large degree possibly just playing church, and a greater understanding of what was written just didn't happen. It does indeed matter with what lens we look through when we read the scriptures. If one screens the words of the Bible through some predetermined bias, of course it affects what and how we view passages. If you are of the mind that you're a new covenant person only, and that the Old Testament is done away and obsolete, a person who would read, as an example, Jeremiah 10, and we'll read that, it just would have no relevance in their life. I'll read that. Jeremiah 10, hear the word which Jehovah speaks to you, O house of Israel, thus says the Lord. Don't learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. The customs of the peoples are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it won't topple. They're upright like a palm tree, and they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot go by themselves. Don't be afraid of them. They can't do evil. They can't do any good. It's a complete and total waste of time. Do not learn the way of the Gentiles. But if you are of the persuasion that none of that applies to you because you're under the new covenant, those words are basically meaningless. And you see the same thing exactly in Isaiah 56, verses 1 through 8. If one is of the disposition that they're a new covenant person, none of this means anything to them at all. But in Isaiah 56, it says, thus says Jehovah, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and keeps his hands from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to Jehovah speak, saying, Jehovah has separated me from his people, nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree, for thus says Jehovah. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And also the sons of the foreigners who join themselves to Jehovah to serve him and to love the name of Jehovah, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain. We've talked about that recently. And make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted in my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Well, that doesn't apply either, because that's, even though that would appear to be salvational, I'm under the new covenant. And those words are simply discarded. I talked with a very fine fellow one day. He said, there is no devil. And it wouldn't matter what you show me in the scriptures. I've had people try and show me in the scriptures where there's a devil, and just show me. I challenge you. Well, the point is, you could point out all the scriptures in the devil or on the devil in the Bible, and the mindset of that individual would be, I just don't believe what I say. Just like people don't believe this, they don't believe Jeremiah 10, they just simply don't believe it and wouldn't believe it under any circumstance. Even though 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us all scripture is given for instruction And so it's just simply disregarded. And when we have that theological bias in any space, it effectively cancels out what other passages are saying. The merging of the millennium in the kingdom of God, for us, did exactly the same thing, and hence the reason for this mystery of the millennium, part 12, message. Yes, we could read through the passages in the Old Testament, but there was no place to put them. At least that was my perspective. God does seem to be in the process of correcting that problem. As passages and puzzle pieces, and those of you that have been following this series, I hope you see that, are falling into place faster than the ability to cope with them, or so it seems to me. It's like one has been working on a jigsaw puzzle for 30 years with little success, and then a huge number of puzzle pieces all fall into place, and the old reality is replaced by a new one, and much more of the picture that we've been working on becomes recognizable. It takes some time to process, and it's one that is ongoing. We're continuing to learn as God appears to be showing us more. Now that the fallacy of the millennium in the kingdom of God as one and the same has been dispelled, what puzzle pieces have begun to fall into place where understanding was darkened or hidden completely? What would you say? What comes to mind for you? I'd like to give some that have come clear to me. I am sure there are countless others, and I'm sure all of you who've been following this series have scriptures that, oh, well, maybe that goes there. And so rather than look at doctrine, as it were, which was a focus in the past, you had to believe this or you had to believe that, let's look at passages that paint us a picture, to fill in the frame, if we will, each adding color to the overall picture. And let's see what we can actually begin to see. On our map, which I hope you have made and have made references to, we have the time of the intervention of God on the left-hand margin. And on the right-hand margin, we have the actual onset of the condition that we call the millennium. And putting that on paper has been a way to see they are indeed not the same thing. And so we want to keep that map thing in mind. And if we understand that the millennium and the kingdom of God are not the same thing, then we should be able to find a few puzzle pieces, and maybe quite a few puzzle pieces, where we can find scriptures that all of a sudden that just didn't have a place before. We read them and we understood what it was saying, but we didn't have a place to put them. And I'd like to start with that if we can go to Psalm 48. If we go to Psalm 48, we'll just walk through this, and while we're reading it, think about, now, where could this possibly go on our map? Great is Jehovah, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is in her palaces, and he is known as her refuge. So God is there, he's in his palace, he's in Zion, and he's known to the world as her refuge. There's safety with God dwelling in your midst, and the world knows it. Okay? So has God returned and established himself? Yes. And do the other nations know it? Indeed, they do. For behold, the kings assembled. These are earthly kings that have come. They passed by together. They saw it. They'd heard about it, but they saw it. The reestablished, holy, and righteous nation that God has talked about, like forever, it seems. It's real, and it's right there. They saw it and they marveled. They were troubled. They didn't like what they saw. They hastened away. Fear took hold of them, and pain as of a woman in birth pangs, as when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. So you have people coming and seeing this, and they're greatly disturbed about that. Well, I thought there was a big fight a long time ago, and everything was up, coming up tulips and roses. No, that's not the case. As we have heard, so we have seen, in the city of Jehovah of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. Is he there at this time? Yes. Are the other nations happy about it? Maybe not so much. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgment. God is back. The judgments are in place. The remnant or the end time generations of the people of Judah are there. And they're pretty happy about the whole arrangement. They are. Walk about Zion and go all around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. You go home and you tell folks about this. For this is God, our God forever and ever, the kingdom that will be set up and will never go away. He will be our guide even to death. Well, how about that? We finally got a place to put that scripture. That puzzle piece just fell in place like Jack the Bear. Now that we understand, the kingdom of God and the millennium are not the same thing. Well, let's go and have a look at Psalm 2 and see whether or not we can have some confirmation of that. Well, let's see what it has to say. Why do the nations rage, and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Jehovah and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces. Yes, there are two beings. One's name is Jehovah, that is God the Father, and the anointed is Christ. And cast away their cords from us. So are the nations real happy about this nation telling them how this should work? Well, I thought there was a big fight, and then everything was tulips and roses. Well, apparently not. They don't want to have any part of it. This is another picture, another description, if you will, of the conditions that exist between point A and point B, point A and point B on our map. What's God's reaction to these guys plotting and scheming? He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. Jehovah shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Is Christ there in Jerusalem ruling? It would seem that's what kings do. I will declare the decree. Jehovah has said to me, who's me? You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. So it's the Father, Jehovah, speaking to the Son, Christ. I will give you the nations of your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve Jehovah, God first, with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Christ is there too. lest he be angry and you perish in the way. Don't trifle with him. When his wrath is kindled but a little, think you better toe the line. Well, I thought everything was wonderful. Maybe not so much. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. So there's a great king established. It would be Christ as well in Zion. They're both there. Well, who also would be there with God the Father and Christ? Well, let's take a look and see if we can find an answer to that. This is in the kingdom of God, but not in the millennium. Psalm 24. The earth is Jehovah's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of Jehovah? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from Jehovah and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your gates, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Jehovah, strong and mighty, Jehovah, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is, remember we talked about is and are, who is this King of glory? Jehovah of hosts, he is the King of glory. No mistaking who that is. And who did we understand that he brings with him? The saints. We can see that in the text. Now we have a place where we've got these pieces. We've always had these pieces. But we didn't know, or I didn't know. I can't speak for you folks, but I didn't know what to do with them. I didn't know how to place them. Well, let's go on to Psalm 46. It seems David had a very thorough grasp of the events that would occur when the kingdom was set up, and he spoke about it a lot. We're only going to look at a very small amount of them today, and you can find it many others yourselves. It doesn't take too long to run through the book of Psalms and say, well, now that we know what this is all about, hey, that means that. Well, let's look at Psalm 46 and read that and just see what it says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Is God the Father there? Oops! God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And the nations are still raging? Does that sound like they've been fully subjected to God and his ways? Come, behold the works of Jehovah, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted, will be, not am, will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Well, how about that? We've got a place to put that now. going on in Psalm 47. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High, that's God the Father, He's the Most High. He is a great King over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us, all the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom He loves. God has gone up with a shout. Jehovah with the sound of a trumpet, sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nation, God sits on His holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God, He is greatly exalted. Each one of these passages adds additional color to our view of the whole situation. There's themes here, but it's all pointing to conditions and snippets within point A and point B on our map. And I would ask that as we walk through these, take a look at that mental picture. What are you seeing in your mind's eye? Is it the millennium, or is it a kingdom of God being resisted by the nations over a period of time? And how long do you think that would be to go from raging, hating God to loving God? How long has it taken each one of us to make that transformation, and is it complete even yet? Let's go to Psalm 50. The Mighty One, God Jehovah, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shall shine forth. Our God will come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before Him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around Him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that He may judge His people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare His righteousness, for God Himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I'd tell you, for the world is mine in all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you got to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, pays attention, I will show the salvation of God. Again, we see these activities and these events happening between point one and point two on our map. We've got a place to put it. Finally. Finally. Well, let's go on here to Psalm 52, a very short psalm. And when we read it, think it through yourself and say, well, now, where does that piece actually go now that we have a template to put it? Well, let's read Psalm 52. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place, and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous also shall see and fear, and shall laugh at him, saying, Here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever, because you have done it, and in the presence of your saints. The saints are going to see what happens to the wicked when God actually deals with them. And it's interesting here where it talks about how quickly, I mean, they're just born into lies and they just gravitate towards that just right away. And God will indeed sort it out. And he'll destroy them forever. Well, that sounds an awful lot like to me that will happen. This is a yet future event, of course. The wicked are there. They're making their choice, probably a goat. And will they be destroyed at the start of the millennium, as we looked about in Mum 11 and the previous ones? Or will they be put in the great white throne judgment itself? I don't know, but it would seem logical that either of those places would be a very likely candidate for that. God's going to destroy them forever. There's only those two events that I can find in a large way like that that are presented. If we go to Psalm 58, where would you place this piece of the puzzle? Psalm 58, do you indeed speak righteousness, you silent ones? Do you judge uprightly, you sons of men? Know in heart you work wickedness, and you weigh out the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. It seems that some spirits automatically just go to the dark side. They go astray as soon as they are born. I'd never considered that before. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf cobra that stops its ear, which will not heed the voice of charmers, charming ever so skillfully. Break their teeth in their mouth, O God. Break out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Let them flow away as waters which run continually. When he bends the bow, let his arrows be as if cut in pieces. Let them be like the snail, or like a snail which melts away as it goes, like the stillborn child of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the burning thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind. As in his living and burning wrath, the righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He, the righteous, shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that men will say, Surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely he is God who judges the earth. Where would you place that? At least we have a template to consider. I don't ever recall having that before where I could look at it. Perhaps you're way ahead of me and had understood this for a long time. I have not. I do believe we have an idea now where that should go. I was astonished, actually, to see how much David wrote about. He knew this. He looked forward to it, actually. It was a big deal for him. Let's go to Psalm 68 and have a look there. And can we see how the fairy tale of the kingdom of God being the same as the millennium has hidden these things from our eyes? These events from point A to point B on our map? Let's read Psalm 68 and see where we go. It says, Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. How do you do that if you don't know what his name is? You don't. Extol him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. So is the Father there at this time? Yes. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound in prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So when God is there, the holy and righteous nation is in place, but not all of the world is underneath its jurisdiction. That is not what we have historically understood. It is all over the place. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched into the wilderness, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You, O God, sent a plentiful rain, whereby you confirmed your inheritance. Well, that's part of the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's going to be a change. God is involved. Your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provided from your goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Kings of armies flee. They flee. Well, the big battle's already happened. Why are they fleeing? I thought everything was tulips and roses. Maybe not. And she who remains at home divides the spoil. Though you lie down among the sheepfolds, you will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Zalmon. A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you fume with envy, you mountains of many peaks? This is the mountain which God desires to dwell in. Yes, Jehovah will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious. Well, how can there be any more rebellious? Actually, there is, and there's lots of them. That the Lord God might dwell there. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. But God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespasses. No, it's not going to happen in 5 minutes. The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from their enemies. They have seen your procession, O Lord, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went before them, the players on instruments followed after, and among them were the maidens playing timbrels. Bless God in the congregations, the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There's little Benjamin, their leader, the princes of Judah and their company, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you've done for us because of your temple at Jerusalem. Kings will bring presents to you. Rebuke the beasts of the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples, till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. It's going to take some time, but the end is not in doubt. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. Some of them are going to understand how this works in a hurry, and some are not. And this is after yet God has his presence there. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth, O sing praises to the Lord, to him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God, his excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. Well, is there any more? Are there any more places where we might see something that would fit? Well, turns out we're not done yet. Psalm 72. Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor. Yep, still some oppressors around. They shall fear you as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his days the righteous shall flourish and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. He shall have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. Remember Psalm 110? Rule in the midst of your enemies? This is after the kingdom of God is established. The millennium is nowhere in sight. The kings of Tarshish and of the Isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall bow down before him, and all nations shall serve him. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and the needy, and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence. And precious shall be their blood in his sight. And he shall live, and the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he, speaking of Christ, shall be praised. There will be an abundance of grain in the earth on the top of the mountains. Its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be Jehovah God, the God of Israel, who does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. It's curious within the Church of God community, they see no value or can't understand the value of God's name. It's not salvational to know that. Well, if God revealed his name to us, and we rejected it, how do you think that would look, actually, just in passing? And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And that's not all. There's another probably 10 passages in the Psalms where David spoke of this. Events that happen. Are we beginning to see a picture that is vastly different than the one we had historically understood, where Christ came down, set up the kingdom, everything come up roses? Do we see that confirmed in the scripture, or do we see an entirely different picture of a kingdom set up that takes a while, possibly decades, to be put fully in place? And I had mentioned it some time ago, even at the start of this millennial series, we'll just spend a little time on here, because now that we have a template to actually look at, we would expect that when God returns, there's a little bit of cleanup and a little bit of attitude adjustment and scores to be settled and things to put into place. And indeed, we find that in the book of Amos. Now we have a place to put these events. Let's look at the book of Amos. Amos 1, and we'll start in verse 2. And he said, Jehovah roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. Is he back? Yes. The pastures of the shepherds mourn and the top of Carmel withers. Thus says Jehovah. He's got some work to do when he returns. For three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not turn away its punishment. Because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will also break the gate bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the valley of Avon and the one who holds the scepter from Beth-Avon. Kings having a little problem. The people of Syria shall go captive to Kir, says Jehovah. Is this some of the work that is to be done after the Father in Christ return? Yes, we have a place for this now. Thus says Jehovah, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they took captive the whole captivity. When Judah goes into captivity again, these guys are fully on side, fully on board with it, and God remembers. They took captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod and the one who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says Jehovah God. Thus says Jehovah, for three transgressions of Tyre, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. But I will send a fire upon it, the wall of Tyre, which shall devour its palaces. Thus says Jehovah, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword, and cast off all pity. His anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. And we read a little bit of that in Isaiah 63. Thus says Jehovah, for three transgressions of the people of Ammon, and for four I will not turn away its punishment, because they ripped open the women with child in Gilead, that they might enlarge their territory. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour its palaces. Amid shouting in the day of battle and a tempest in the day of the whirlwind, their king will go into captivity, he and his princes together. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom in lime. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kerioth. Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting and trumpet sound, and I will cut off the judge from its midst and slay all its princes with him. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have despised the law of Jehovah and have not kept his commandments. The day of reckoning has arrived. Their lies lead them astray, lies which their fathers followed. For I will send a fire upon Judah, and it will devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Zechariah 14, 1 and 2. For thus says Jehovah, for three transgressions of Israel, and the world does not see the difference between Israel and Judah, but it is singled out here, I will not turn away its punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of sandals. They pant after the dust of the earth which is on the head of the poor, and pervert the way of the humble. A man and his father go into the same girl to defile my holy name. They lie down by every altar on clothes taken in pledge, and drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. It wasn't Jehovah. And yet it was I that destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was as strong as oaks. I destroyed his fruit above and his roots beneath. And it was I who brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite. I raised up some of your sons as prophets, and some of your young men as Nazarites. Is it not so, O children of Israel, says Jehovah? But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, don't prophesy, we don't want to hear it. Behold, I am weighed down by you as a cart full of sheaves is weighed down. Therefore flight shall perish from the swift. The strong shall not strengthen his power, nor shall the mighty deliver himself. He shall not stand who handles the bow. The swift of foot shall not escape, nor shall he who rides a horse deliver himself. The most courageous men of might shall flee naked in that day. Going on. You only have I known, Amos 3:2, of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he's caught nothing? Will a bird fall into a snare on the earth when there's no trap for it? Going down to verse 7. Surely Jehovah God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Proclaim in the palaces at Ashdod, in the palace of the land of Egypt, and say, assemble on the mountains of Samaria. See great tumults in her midst, and the oppressed within her, for they do not know to do right, says Jehovah, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore, says God, an adversary shall be all around the land. He shall sap your strength from you, and your palaces will be plundered. As a shepherd takes from the mouth of a lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out who dwell in Samaria. In the corner of a bed, on the edge of a couch, hear and testify against the house of Jacob, says the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day I punish Israel for their transgressions, I will also visit destruction on the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. I will destroy the winter house along with the summer house. The houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end. We can walk through this, and please read the book of Amos in your own time. And it will become very clear that these are some of the activities that occur after the Father has returned, along with Jesus Christ, and before the millennium has ever started. We now have a place to put these things. Read the whole book of Amos, and you will see, well, I will go to actually Amos 9, and it's quite long, but it's just showing the completeness of the cleansing of Israel and Judah when God returns. I saw the Lord standing by the altar, and he said, strike the doorposts that the thresholds may shake, and break them on the heads of them all. I will slay the last of them with the sword. He who flees from them shall not get away, and he who escapes from them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, from there my hand shall take them. Though they climb up to heaven, from there I will bring them down. And though they hide themselves on the top of Carmel, from there I will search and take them. Though they hide from my sight at the bottom of the sea, from there I will command the serpent, and it shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, from there I will command the sword, and it shall slay them. I will set my eyes on them for harm and not for good. The Lord God of hosts, he who touches the earth and it melts, and all who dwell and mourn, all of it shall swell like the river and subside like the river of Egypt. He who builds his layers in the sky and has founded his strata in the earth, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth, Jehovah is his name. Are you not like the people of Ethiopia to me, O children of Israel, says God? Did I not bring Israel up from the land of Egypt, the Philistines from Kaphtor and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are on the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the face of the earth. Yet I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob. Their kingdom, Israel's kingdom, will be annihilated, because it is not right before God. Surely I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all the nations as grain is sifted in a sieve, and yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who say, the calamity is not going to overtake us or confront us. It's going to be a serious day of reckoning. We have a place to put that now, and it's not millennial. On that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says Jehovah, who does this thing. Behold, the days are coming, says Jehovah, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. So we see the punishment, the correction, and the restoration. This is not millennial. This is in the kingdom of God. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine in them. They should also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them. I will establish a kingdom forever, says Jehovah, your God.